Let's all stand this morning for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, we're going to read verses 7 through 11 this morning. Exodus 33, 7 through 11, and we'll read these responsively. We'll start off together on verse 7, I'll read verse 8, we'll read 9 together, I'll read verse 10, and we'll finish together on verse 11. Exodus 33, same when you found that scripture this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7, read with me, the Bible says, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." You may be seated.
Amen. Again, thank you for being in church this morning. This morning's message is going to be titled, "The Value of Friendship." The Value of Friendship. And we just saw here a moment ago in Exodus chapter number 33, Moses is going out to the tabernacle to talk with the Lord. And everybody comes and stands in the door of their tent as he goes out there. And what's interesting, in verse number 11, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses," how?
Face to face.
"Face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." And you turn again into the camp. It's interesting that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. One thing that this just kind of points out is that friends talk to each other. Friends talk to each other. They like to get together. They like to sit down and talk face to face. And here's Abraham talking. Here's Moses talking with the Lord. And it says the Lord talked to him face to face as a man talks to his friend. Listen to these other two verses as I read them. 2 Chronicles 27 says, "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever?" It's just interesting to think God being a friend and having a friend. It's a very special concept. James 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." The friend of God. Just again, an interesting thought that God has friends and God can be a friend. Remember when Judas came to betray Jesus Christ, how did Jesus refer to Judas? Friend. Friends. Was Judas being a friend to Jesus? Was Jesus being a friend to Judas? Yes, God is the best friend you will ever have. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He won't get upset because you didn't call him on his birthday. Since he didn't have a birthday, you never have to worry about that. But, you know, it's amazing how you can lose a friend over maybe something trivial or something that really didn't seem to be that important. But the number one building block of friendship is communication. The number one building block of friendship is communication. Often what happens in relationships is assumption. We assume we know what they're thinking or what they were planning on doing or what they've said instead of just asking them, "What are you thinking? What are you planning? What do you want to do? You know, we assume, husbands, we know what our wives want to do. We don't ask them. Wives, you assume what you know what your husband would say if you asked him, so you don't ask him. Well, I know what my husband would say. Well, you know, we can change our minds too. Amen? And how often kids, you know, I'm not going to ask my parents because I know what they're going to say. Well, I'm sure kids, sometimes you've been surprised when you asked and you got the answer you weren't expecting. But communication is the key to life, and communication is the number one building block of a friendship. And it doesn't have to necessarily be verbal communication to bring people together, but the closest friends you have are those who you get to know the best, and they get to know you the best by communication. By communication. Communication takes time. Communication takes time. Maybe one reason why guys are poor communicators is that we're always busy and we don't want to sit still enough to listen. Because communication also takes listening. For good communication to happen, there is speaking and listening and receiving information, and there's also back and forth. That's good communication. If one side is always doing the talk and one side is always doing the listening, and there's no response, that's poor communication. Good communication is both people talking back and forth, listening and hearing, and talking and listening and hearing, okay? There's a common misconception that men and women do not know how to communicate with each other. There's a common misconception that men and women do not know how to communicate well with each other. And if that is the case, poor Adam and poor Eve. Because who else did they have to talk to? Human-wise. I remember the first time as an assistant pastor, Pastor John Horton in Arkansas, made this statement from the pulpit. He said, "My wife is my best friend, and I am her best friend." He said, "I tell her everything, and she tells me everything." You know, that really, to me, as someone who'd been to Bible college, and someone who had grown up in a Christian home, to me, really, that was a surprising statement. My wife is my best friend, and she is my best friend, and we tell each other everything. There's this idea that men and women are so different that they can't understand each other. You know, men need men friends, and women need girlfriends in order to be really happy, because you got to have someone who can understand you. Although friendship is enjoyable and having other friends are enjoyable, when it comes to marriage, they are not a priority over your number one friendship after God, and that is your husband and wife, your husband or wife. I have had many friends in my lifetime, many close friends. I have a best friend from kindergarten. I got best friends from grade school. I could just start naming them off to you. I got best friends from high school. Junior high, no best friends because in 7th and 8th grade because the school that I went to, no one really was on the same wavelength with me, and I got picked on, so no good friends there. But 9th, 11th, and 12th, I have some best friends there. I got some best friends from college and after that. And I continue to have good friends and close friends, and I want to continue being a friend and having friends, and I consider everyone in here a friend of mine. Some of you are closer to me than others, and I would say the reason for that is because we've communicated more. Yep. If you're closer to me as your pastor, it's because you took time to communicate with me, and I took time to communicate with you. If you feel aloof from me and not very close to me as your pastor, it's because we haven't talked very much. We haven't sat down and really got to know each other very well. Remember after we got married, I decided to take my wife to show my grandparents, my new wife, you know, and to show my grandparents my bride. And so we were driving to Pennsylvania from Arkansas. We decided to stop at one of my best friend's house to spend the night to save a hotel bill. And he was my best friend from kindergarten. My wife's like, "We're staying at your best friend from kindergarten's house?" I'm like, yeah, Tommy. He's a great guy. And, you know, catch up on old times. It's a lot has happened since kindergarten. You know, friends are important. I'm sure many of you in here have close friends. Growing up, I also studied other people's families and how they operated. And I would encourage you to study other people's families, young people, and how they operate. And whether the home is a happy place to be or not. I studied that as a child. Whether the place, these people, my friends' houses, were happy places to be or not. What was the emotional peace in that home? One thing I rarely saw was husbands and wives who were truly close and on the same page as a young person. I saw a lot of animosity, but not much friendship. And how do best friends treat each other? Somebody help me. Some of you have best friends. Kindly, respectfully. How about what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine? You know, we share the same ice cream cone. That's when you're younger and don't know what germs are. Hey, can I have a sip of your Coke? Sure. Now, if it's Pepsi, don't even try. That's full of germs anyway. But I mean, best friends, true best friends, they share everything, and you're on the same team, right? Maybe many, I might be talking to people, some people this morning that never had a best friend. I'm not sure. But having some best friends, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine, we're on the same team. If anybody attacks you, they attack me. I'll put up my dukes to defend you, you put up your dukes to defend me, right? Same team. We're best friends, we're best buds. You know, going to other people's houses, I had the privilege of spending the night at many friends' houses growing up. And the image that was presented at church by the husband and wife, the unity presented at church between the mom and dad, rarely carried over into the home. It rarely carried over into the home. I got to see them when they woke up in the morning without their coffee. How they treated each other, how they treated their kids, how their kids treated their parents. Most marriage relationships that I studied seemed to be strained. There was strain in the relationship. Either there was a power play over how to train and discipline the kids or disagreement over finances. But most houses that I watched and looked at growing up were unsettled and not at peace. The content and settled families seemed few and far between. And I wanted, what I was looking for was a settled home, a godly home, a home with peace, because that's the kind of home that I wanted to give to my future kids, if God would ever give me any, when I got married. I wanted to have a loving relationship with my wife. I wanted it to be a peaceful marriage. And so I studied other marriages to see who else was at peace, and then if they're at peace, how did they get there? As a young person, just trying to see what was going on. And one thing that I want for my children, and one thing I think you all want for your children as well, or you should want, is that however you are at church, that's how you are at home. Amen. I want my kids to have consistency with their parents and their daddy, and however he acts at church, that's how he acts at home. That's my desire. Whether that's true or not, you'll have to ask them. Not today, but that's my goal, though. I want my children, I want our home to be the funnest place to be. And if anybody wants to come spend time with anybody, I want other kids that want to come spend time with my kids at our house because it's the funnest place to be. Now, if everybody has that mentality and everybody else is the funnest place to be, there won't be much people going anywhere, but because everyone wants to be home. But, you know, one of the funnest places for me to be is home. You know, there are some men who don't want to go home because there's contention and strife there. There are some ladies who don't want to go home because there's contention and strife there. There's some children who don't want to go home because there's contention and strife there. Let me just say that doesn't have to be like that. There can be peace. Okay? But one of the keys to there being peace in the home is for the husband and wife to be best friends. There is no one closer to me than my wife. There is no best friend guy I would rather spend time with than my wife. And vice versa. Now, when I was newly married, you know, switching from singlehood to marriedhood, if that's proper English, I don't know. You know, if some guys are going out and they were going to go have pizza and then go, you know, do something fun, I'm like, all right, babe, we'll see you later. And she's stuck at home by herself, and I'm out having fun. And then I heard Pastor Horton make that statement that he said, my wife is my best friend, she is my best friend, and we tell each other everything. You have to ask yourself, I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. When I heard Pastor Horton say that, I stopped and I asked myself this question. Is my wife my best friend? Is my wife my best friend? She should be. If she isn't, why not? Part of the reason I think that men aren't good communicators with their wives is that, you know, we think we need to be the strong, silent type, and that talking is too girly. I want to sit around and talk and go shopping and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. That's girly stuff. Well, what would happen if Adam had that kind of thought process in the garden? Who would he even talk to? Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Look down at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be what? Alone. I will make him an helpmeet, and help meet for him. Okay? And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now this verse right here tells us that the relationship between a man and a wife is more important than the relationship between the man and his parents. It's also more important than the woman and her parents. Relationship between man and wife is the number one relationship. And look, they're one flesh. Did you know that it is impossible for a married couple to gossip with each other? They're one flesh. The one person in this world that you can talk with about anything that's going on in your mind and anything that's going on in your heart and about anything you think about anybody else is your husband or wife. Since you're one person talking to each other, how is it gossip? I mean, it's just like you walking outside talking to yourself. Stop gossiping, I'm sorry. Husband and wives, you're allowed to communicate with each other about everything that's going on in your heart and mind and what you think about anything and anybody. And then you're supposed to get on the same page about everything. You're supposed to get on the same page about everything and anybody. Does that make sense? Husbands, if your wife feels uncomfortable with you being around another lady, guess what that means? You're not going to be around that other lady. Even if you knew her before you knew your wife. Why? Who's your number one relationship? Your wife. Wives, if your husband doesn't want you to spend a lot of time with some other man, even though you may have been brought up together because he's a little jealous about it, guess what just happened with that relationship? You're going to get on the same page with your husband and not spend time with that other man because who's your number one relationship? Help me. Your husband. Okay? Now that seems to be a foreign concept nowadays, that when you become married in one flesh, that that's your number one priority in relationship, but that's biblically how it's supposed to be.
Right.
Even after Adam and Eve had kids, what adults were there for Adam and Eve to talk to? They were the oldest people around. All they could have talked to was their kids. Eve didn't have any ladies to go shopping with other than her daughters, which is fun too, but she had to wait a while. Who do you think she talked to all those years? Help me. Adam. Who listened? Adam. Who did Adam talk to? Eve. Who listened? Eve. You know, husbands and wives, it's okay to communicate with each other. Let me say, if you're not communicating with each other, I would go as far to say it's sin. Because you're communicating with somebody.
Right.
And you're putting somebody else in a position over your husband or wife. That's not how it's supposed to be. That's sin. If you communicate with somebody else more than you communicate with your husband, ladies, or if you communicate with somebody more than you communicate with your wife, men, and you're in sin. And your relationship is not going to last. Or you'll be existing with each other. And that's not how it's supposed to be. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Adam! Hey, Adam! Where'd you go? And Adam's hiding, and Eve are hiding over there. Verse 10, and Adam responds, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Whom was Eve supposed to be with? Adam. And who is Adam supposed to be with? Eve. Okay. So husbands, who are you supposed to number one be with? Your wife. And wives, who are you supposed to number one be with? Your husband. It's that simple. It's really simple. We make it too complicated. There is no relationship and no best friendship outside of your marriage that should be at a higher priority in your life than your marriage.
Amen.
If there is, you will not have a happy marriage. And I want you to have a happy marriage. Praise the Lord, as of today, we have a happy marriage. And we'll continue, Lord willing, to have a happy marriage. For one reason, because we're best friends. And we tell each other everything. Rachel Rines knows Rob Rines. She knows everything about me. Everything I struggle with, she knows me. I have hidden nothing from her. And I know Rachel Rines. She's hidden nothing from me. We know each other. And we help each other. She's my best friend. Guys, I love you. I love going fishing. I love going paintballing. I'm as sore as all get out today. Took three men to carry me up the stairs to preach this morning. But if I have to choose between paintball and my wife, there's a choice, some kind of a choice, I'll choose my wife. Amen? And I know you would too. And ladies, if you have to choose between going shopping with your girlfriend or spending some time with your husband, then you choose spending time with your husband. You say, but I've had this shopping trip planned for 4 weeks. It's her only day off, and your husband all of a sudden gets a free day, and he wants to spend time with you. Guess who's more important? Help me. Your husband. Look, if we would have marriages with husbands and wives that are best friends, you'd have more peace in the home.
Amen.
And you'd have stronger families. Amen. Now, who else was Adam and Eve supposed to talk with? God. The two top relationships in your life should be, first of all, God, and second of all, your husband and wife if you're married. Okay? If you're not married, and your kids, your most important relationship is with your parents. Okay? But in the beginning, there was only two people to talk to, God and your spouse. Husbands and wives were created to be best friends. You cannot use the excuse, I'm not a good communicator. I don't know any good communicators that became good communicators naturally. Most of us do not want to communicate. How many of you would prefer not to stand up in front of people and give a speech? Okay? Communication is not our strong point. When God first called me to preach, I thought he must be talking to somebody else. I was in grade school. I'm too short. I'm too small. I can't do that. Communication is hard. If communication were easy, everybody would be doing it. Right? But just because it's hard doesn't mean you shouldn't be communicating. Let me just say, one reason we don't communicate is we don't like conflict. One reason why we choose not to communicate is because we don't like contention and conflict. And so we'd rather not communicate so there isn't any conflict instead of communicating and there being conflict. But guess what? Just because you don't communicate doesn't mean the conflict isn't still there. You're just not talking about it. What happens when you communicate about a conflict is you work through the conflict and get through on the other side of the conflict, and there's peace because you work through the conflict. Otherwise, you just leave the elephant in the room, don't talk about it. That's why you go to Thanksgiving with your family and everybody moves around the elephant in the room and you smile and pretend like you're happy to be there, but you're really not. Let's not bring up that topic because that'll just set everybody off. Well, if there's a topic that sets everybody off, it's because it has never been resolved. And what has that resolved for you? Nothing but conflict. So communicate about what it is that's upsetting and work through it. Ask for forgiveness, get forgiveness, and work through it so that there aren't any more elephants in your living room. If your living room's like mine, it's hard and small enough as it is. A lot of the reason why we don't communicate is we don't want to get hurt, we don't want conflict, so I'm just going to leave it alone so I don't stir up the waters. Just because you don't stir up the waters doesn't mean that there aren't sharks in it. Get rid of the sharks and go swimming. Maybe that's not a good analogy, but work with me here. Now, me and my wife's marriage has not always been happy. We've had to work to get a happy marriage, and we've had to communicate to get on the same page to have a happy marriage. Because I was going my way, and she was going her way. That creates conflict. A house divided against itself. So look, you want a solid house? You both got to be going the same way, which means you have to communicate about absolutely everything. Marriage, intimacy, in-laws. That's a big one. You got to sit down and have some heart-to-hearts about all these areas. Finances, child rearing. That was some of me and my wife's biggest fights was child rearing. We had to get on the same page. You have to get on the same page. You have to communicate to do that. You can't say, well, I'm not a good communicator. I never have been. Well, then become one. Get books about communicating. Hang out with people that communicate. Come out of your comfort zone. There's a saying, informed people are happy people. If you know what's going on, you're a lot more content because you don't have to wonder what's going on. But if you know what's going on, it's because there's communication happening. Let me close by saying this. God desires our affection and friendship. Why? I don't know. Because it pleases him to have us love him. Why? I don't know. Our righteousness is his filthy rags. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. He values us. Why? I don't know, but he does. And he values our attention. And look, God values our friendship. How many of you enjoy friendship? Raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you really do enjoy friendship. Let's try it again. How many people enjoy friendship? Raise your hand. Okay, I see all the hands now. You know God enjoys our friendship? And what's interesting is that God can have a friendship individually with each one of us. And God is a friend to each one of us, whether or not we're a friend in return. So I want to ask you some questions this morning. Looking at how often you talk to God, do you think he would consider you his friend? Just stop and think of the friends you've had in your life and the communication that's needed to happen for that to be so. Just stop and think about how often you communicate with God. Do you think he would consider you his friend? How about how much you listen to him? Because again, communication is not just speaking, it's listening. Do you take time to listen to him, the reading of his word and in prayer? Abraham was a friend of God. Would it not be awesome for it to be said, Steve DeSantis, the friend of God. Noel Vasquez, the friend of God. Frank Carr, the friend of God. Rob Rhines, the friend of God. Sarah Masana, the friend of God. Kelly Schaefer, the friend of God. Are you communicating with God like a friend would? Because he desires your friendship. How many of you, I'm landing, I'm circling the field and coming down. How many of you have ever wanted to be someone's friend and they rejected your friendship? Man, doesn't that hurt? Doesn't that just wound you? You know, God's offering friendship out to you each and every day. Are you rejecting his friendship or accepting it? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, ultimately you should be our very best friend. And you are the best friend that we have. But how often we fail in being the best friend that you have. Lord, may we speak to you in prayer and think about you and talk to you and listen to you in prayer as we would our best friend. And may you never feel lonely and rejected because of me. God, please touch our hearts. I pray for the marriages in our church, Lord, that the husbands and wives would desire to be each other's best friend and that there would be no other relationship other than you that would be higher than that. Lord, please help us to have peace. Please help us to have our priorities straight in our relationships and putting you first. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.